Would you like to live your best life possible, regardless of your imperfections? Discover cutting-edge tools and inspiration to let go of your limitations and expand your life beyond what you've ever imagined. On Imperfect Brilliance, we help you tap into your unique gifts and talents, uncovering and letting your brilliance shine. Join certified facilitators and coaches Betsy McLaughlin and Kathy Williams to delve into different areas of your life, get unstuck, and create the life that is truly possible for you. These joyful ladies have changed their lives by utilizing the tools and techniques they share with you. What if your willingness to acknowledge your brilliance is the catalyst to creating a new reality? When you stop judging you, what else can you create in your life and in the world? Join Kathy and Betsy live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern to create magical and joyous possibilities for an hour of laughs, questions, tips, and more. We are excited to contribute and play with you.
Welcome to Imperfect Brilliance, everyone. This is Kathy Williams here with my co-host, Betsy McLaughlin, and I am excited about today's topic. We are talking about people who push your buttons and how to stay centered around them, even if they're family members. And I know for a lot of people, this is a pertinent topic at this time of year because we tend to have different gatherings and maybe see people that we otherwise wouldn't see, or maybe even avoid. Who knows? Anyway, and even when it's not this time of year, you know, maybe at work people push your buttons or somewhere else. So these tools are for all sorts of situations, and I'm looking forward to today's conversation. Thanks for being here with me, Betsy.
Thanks for being here with me, Katie.
Yay! Do you want to say a little bit about us?
I sure will. And I know a lot of people listen to us regularly, and we so appreciate that. For anybody who might be new to stumbling across Imperfect Brilliance, who are we? In a quick nutshell, we are both based in the United States. About as opposite on the coast as we can be, though. Kathy is in Hawaii, in Maui, Hawaii, and I am on the eastern coast in a suburb of Washington, D.C., and I live in Maryland. And we are both certified facilitators with Access Consciousness, and we are also wives, moms, best-selling authors, and coaches, and we do all kinds of fun classes online as well as in person. We will travel to you where you are in the world. We will create specialty classes or some of the core classes that we teach, and we love above all to see you shine, to see you step into everything you are and more, and we have much fun watching this and watching people literally change in front of our eyes and see their lives explode. It's so much fun to get phone calls and emails or even, you know, offhand remarks from people, right, Kath, where they're like, oh, yeah, I made an extra $5,000 last month. You know, after taking your class and things like that, where you're just like, oh, that's so awesome. And so that's part of who we are and what we do. And we would be so honored to speak with you and see what we could develop. Kathy and I enjoy playing together, teaching classes together, as well as we do lots of things individually. So whatever you guys are called to do, you know, please know that we're here. And you can find us. We have an Imperfect Brilliance Facebook page. We have imperfectbrilliance at gmail.com. My email address is accessbetsy, which is B-E-T-S-Y, at gmail.com. And Kathy's is magical Kathy with a K meetkathywilliams@outlook.com. Her website is meetkathywilliams, and mine is creatingyumminess.com. So lots of ways to find us. And we're, as I've said before, we're so grateful that you guys are listening and tuning in. We know there's lots of things that you could be doing with your time, and maybe you're exercising while you're listening to us, or laying down and taking a break. Whatever you're doing, we're so glad and so honored that you are spending some time with us. Anything you'd like to add to that, Kathy?
Oh, I think you did great, Betsy. Thank you. I mean, there is always something else to add. You know, I think for us as the people on air, or even for the listeners, like, how do you sum yourself up in just a couple of minutes? There is just so much to say. So, but we love hearing from you. I think that's one of the main things, like your ideas for shows or your ideas for online classes. You know, a lot of the classes I do come from the ideas of people who either have taken previous classes, or I get a Facebook message or something like that. And when you do Facebook message us, please make a note that, hey, I listened to you on the radio. You know, I mean, there are so many people on Facebook with fake profiles or whatever. So when we don't know someone, we might not, you know, make them our friend. But if you say, hey, I've been listening to you, then we'll be like, oh, okay.
Right.
So,
you know, it's so funny. I mean, I get probably an average of 5 to 7 requests a week of men in the military. And what is so funny is a lot of them use the same picture and have different names. Yeah. So it's so funny. Like she said, there's a lot of fake profiles out there. So just let us know how you found us, and we're happy to communicate and talk to you.
Absolutely. So, Betsy, do you have anybody in your life who pushes your buttons?
Nope.
Oh, not anymore, huh?
I wish I could say 100% all the time no, but that would be telling a fib. It's certainly way better than it used to be. And yes, I do find myself sometimes reacting where somebody is pushing my button. And, you know, that's such an interesting question, even like pushing your button, where isn't it something where family members tend to know those buttons better than anybody?
Maybe it's because of the history, right? Like years worth of history, years worth of, oftentimes, you know, in my world, I feel we don't see people we've known a long time for who they are now. We see them through all the filters of who we think they've been, right? Oh, you're still my sister who has this annoying habit and who likes to tell me what to do. And maybe this year she actually isn't, right? Maybe she's different. And maybe she is the same, you know, but something has to have changed over the course of this year.
Wow. That's an interesting point to bring in, where we do tend to go to, you know, like what we know that person has done or been in the past, what they've said, how they'll behave, and they may or may not still be in that same space. I know that I've certainly, and I know you have as well, Kathy, where we have really changed. And if you thought that I was the same, that I was the person I was 5 years ago, you know, no, I'm very, very, very different. And, you know, not everybody is on the same journey that you're on. I mean, we're all on our individual journeys of where we are, and you could be exactly the same. I'm not saying that's a bad thing or a wrong thing or anything like that. I just know that I am a very, very different person than I was 5 years ago or even a year ago. But if somebody was treating me as the person I was 5 years ago, that could be a very interesting scenario to be part of.
Yes. Yes. And do you find that when people treat you, I mean, we're very aware, right? We're very aware. So when someone has projections and expectations of you that you're going to be a certain way, do you find yourself kind of modifying yourself to fit those projections and expectations?
Yeah, absolutely. As a default, I can. Yes. And, you know, then I can feel like restricted or that I can't be everything that I am or like I have to behave a certain way. So then I become very aware of that, and it's an uncomfortable place to be.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's paint a little clearer picture for listeners about this kind of scenario. I remember a few years ago, my friend first made me aware of this. Actually, it was Sadie, who used to do the radio show with us. If you've heard archives from a couple years ago, you've likely heard Sadie with us. And she and Betsy are the ones who started Imperfect Brilliance Radio Show. So Sadie was at an event, and I think she wouldn't mind me telling this story, but she said, "You know what? I realize when I'm around my mother-in-law, I act differently, right? And I realize, oh, I don't act that way around other people." And then she was looking at that scenario and realized she was responding to how her mother-in-law expected her to be, right? So let's say, I'm just going to paint a scenario where your mother-in-law expects you to be sort of aloof. Then you might start to be aloof in that situation. Or if she expects you to be sort of a spoiled brat, you might behave as a spoiled brat, even though you don't behave that way around other people, right? Because they're sort of projecting that's the way you're going to be, you find yourself, you know, responding in ways that are different from how you might normally respond. So I have a funny story about this too. I was at a party, and I have a dear friend whom I love, who's a guy, and we talk about a lot together. But on this particular occasion, I was pretty dolled up. I had on a red dress and was pretty fancy and stuff, and sat down at the same table. And the conversation was very awkward and strange. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of snappy, but not really. And I was like, what is this? You know, right in that situation, I was like, why am I being like this? And then I looked at it and I was like, oh, he doesn't expect beautiful women to treat him well.
Wow.
So in our normal life, when I'm, you know, not looking good or when we're just, you know, having a conversation from afar, I'm not looking good. Anyway.
Hello.
That was funny. Anyway, when I'm looking like my normal self, things are fine. And, you know, so it's just interesting how we are so aware that we can modify our behaviors and activities to fit how someone else is expecting us to be.
Wow. And as you were talking about that, it kind of brought up like the energy of being a chameleon. And, you know, so how many of us are really good at being like a chameleon, where you can blend in to the situation that you're in. You can change your spots or change your colors for what you perceive you're supposed to be.
Yeah. Quite amazing, isn't it?
It really is. And I know for me that it was a skill I learned early on in my life. As a coping and kind of a survival mechanism. And at some points in my life, I've made myself kind of wrong for that and being that. And what if it's actually a strength that you've never acknowledged?
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, we can definitely make ourselves wrong, or we can acknowledge, oh, wow. You know, sometimes even looking at, oh, wow, you know, I'm so aware, I'm also aware of what someone can receive, mm-hmm. right? Can they receive this communication? Can they receive, you know, me being me fully? And if not, do I have to cut myself off from being myself, or can I just show them the parts that, can I still fully be myself and just allow them to see, you know, what works for them and not make their point of view real? So maybe we could talk a little bit about that.
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot there, Kathy. You know, not making people's points of view real. And I know that we're headed to the break. So let's hold on to that thought and see where else Kathy was going to take us with not making other people's points of view real after the break. You guys are listening to Imperfect Brilliance. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Stay tuned.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos. A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
Dad, this is fun. I didn't think I'd like kayaking.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, but I think it's time to head back in.
Okay. Can we come back?
Sure. Hey, be careful getting out of the boat.
It's a kayak, Dad.
I'm going to return the kayak.
Can we walk home?
How about a taxi?
It's a short fare from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Imperfect Brilliance Radio Show. I'm Kathy Williams, here with my co-host, Bessie McLaughlin, and we're having a conversation about how to stay centered, even when you're around people who push your buttons, which brings up the question, who put those buttons there anyway? Right? If we have buttons, who put them there?
Great question. It's not like they're running around going, I'm going to put buttons here and here and here and here. Now, actually, some people do seem to take pleasure in pushing other people's buttons.
Yes.
So they might be thinking, oh, I'm going to put a button here and here and here. But I wonder even for, you know, a lot of us, how many buttons do we push on other people and we don't even realize that that is a button that we're pushing in somebody's universe?
Great question, huh? I wonder. I mean, sometimes just being happy can press someone else's buttons, right? Yeah. How can they be happy? Life is horrible. The economy is whatever, you know, bad.
Yeah. That's so funny because I had a voicemail from someone who said that told me that my voicemail message was way too happy and that I needed to change it. It's so funny. She's like, you are so cheerful and happy on this. You need to change it. And I was just
because
it was too happy. And she thought it wasn't real. And it was so interesting. Like, wow, okay. So you're absolutely right. You can push somebody's button by being yourself, by being happy, by being joyful, or, you know, you could push somebody's button if you're in a bad mood. And that, you know, like you could push somebody's button no matter what you do. So how many times have you walked around on eggshells trying not to push someone else's buttons and you end up doing it anyhow?
Looking at that again, let's return to the idea of making someone else's point of view real.
Mm-hmm.
So if Betsy gets the message, oh, your voicemail is way too happy, and she's like, oh, geez, I better change it, she just made that person's point of view real. Instead of looking at their point of view as, wow, that's an interesting perspective. Huh.
Yes.
It's not making them right or making them wrong. When you make them wrong, mm-hmm. you also give their point of view energy, right?
Yes.
That's easy to see in political parties. You know, they're pushing against the other side. Well, in order to push, first off, they've made the other side's perspective real and solid and something they need to push against, which means they actually give it energy. And if, you know, when you focus on something, you bring more of it into your life, then maybe you don't want to push against things. Maybe there's a different way, an easier way.
So along with that same conversation, the same line of conversation then, Kathy, so let's say you're pushing my buttons. And you're pushing several of my buttons. So what could I do? So would it be something that you need to do to stop pushing my buttons? Or is it something I need to do?
So, Betsy, if your buttons are pushed, can you change me?
Yes, I can tell you to stop it.
What's that going to make me want to do?
Well, it depends on your mood, right? You could laugh. You could push my buttons even harder and say, huh, I wonder how many more buttons she has I could push. You know, you right? What
I could push back at her. Like, how dare she tell me I should stop this? I'm going to keep doing it just to show that I'm my own person. Right? How often do we do that? When we're three, we do that. When we're teenagers, we do that. And how subtly do we continue to do it into adulthood? Right?
Mm-hmm.
In order to have my reality, I have to push against yours. Mm. Everything that is, can we destroy and uncreate it?
Yes.
Mm. Okay. Right, wrong, good, bad, podpock, all nine shorts, boys, and beyond. And that is the Access Consciousness Clearing Statement, which serves to just energetically clear away all the solidity of that. Everywhere there's stuck energy around it.
Well, and I wonder too, like, how much time do we all spend pushing back against those perceived buttons, right? Like, and how many times have I said, and I've heard other people say, so-and-so is making me so angry. Right. That's just another way of I'm allowing somebody to push my buttons. But if I'm focused on, well, they're making me so angry and they're so wrong, and why can't they see how angry they're making me? What am I doing? Right. I am perpetuating that point of view, and I'm making that even more solid and hard to get over, and fighting against everything that I'm perceiving that is being done, that's being wrong, you know, that's wrong or being done to me. So with all of this energy, right, where we're right now, we're talking about defending against and, you know, fighting against and all of this. So what can we do that would be different than allowing people to make you angry, to push your buttons, and to, back to the theme of the, you know, the actual title of today's show, how to stay centered to who you are. So it's almost like when you, and as I ask that question, I could kind of feel like, if we're staying centered to who you are, you're not allowing these outside forces to distract you or to diminish who you are.
Yeah. Yes. And you know, I mean, one of the things, there are some strategies that we can use that we'll explore over the next few minutes. But I also wanted to mention, like, not making, if you do get angry, not making that wrong, right? Because then that's just another layer of stuff you have to deal with. Instead, if you're angry, just be angry for a moment and be like, okay, right now, this is what I'm choosing. I'm choosing it, right? And I'm choosing it because I think it works for me, you know? And then you have choice in how long you continue to choose it. Right? You don't have to choose it for even 5 minutes. You could choose it for 30 seconds and be like, okay, just going to be angry. Let this energy run through me. You know, I even had this this weekend. A situation came up in which I really did some people a favor. And then they were, how do I put this nicely? they were just rude and ungrateful and kind of obnoxious toward me. And I was just like, I got really furious. Not when I was in the room with them, but just definitely when I left. I got furious. But instead of making that wrong, I just allowed it to flow through because it's all energy. If I would resist being furious, saying, well, I shouldn't feel this way, then that's another layer, right? Another layer of tension, another layer of, I'm wrong for being this way. But allowing it to flow through, just let it pass, right? Versus pushing against it. So I just wanted to bring that in. And then you can always, you know, go in the bathroom and say everywhere this person triggered me, pock and pod, or do the whole clearing statement if you know it. And just keep doing that over and over. There may be more than one layer there. You know, everywhere I got triggered by this person. Everywhere I can't be relaxed around this person. Everywhere they're just driving me freaking nuts. You know, destroy it and create it. And just find every angle until you find the angle that works the best for you. You feel more calm, and then you can leave the bathroom, you know, in a new space of being.
That's so true. And whether, you know, you're angry, or it could be also that you have hurt feelings and you're crying about something. I've certainly done that. And again, you know, not making yourself wrong for anything, allowing those, whatever's coming up, to come up, and then do exactly what Kathy was talking about, you know, and what can you do for you to bring you back to who you are, and not taking yourself outside of the true essence of you, which is a lot of what we do. We can allow ourselves to be distracted by getting our buttons pushed, you know, whether it's being upset or being hurt feelings. And then you go into the story of it all. And with that, then there could be justification, or you look for, you know, you look for somebody to support your point of view, support your story, support your upset. And what does that do but continues and perpetuates all these feelings that you have over the situation? So if you're not doing that, if you allow it to go through you, as Kathy shared, what would that, how much, first of all, like how much time do we all spend in the upset, in the story, in the justification?
Yeah. You know, I mean, with this situation I mentioned in which these people were just so ungrateful and in fact rude, I spend a little while in that, you know, validation of my point of view, right? My point of view is right. They're so mean.
Yep.
Like, and then ultimately it was like, oh, like this is not changing the situation at all to feel
right.
This way or justify
right.
It in my head. And this is not making me feel any better at all. In fact, when I go back into it, it just brings up that anger again. And so in essence, I was mm-hmm. fighting against life, fighting against
right.
What had occurred. And so what brought me out of that is this wonderful tool that's so useful that you can carry it in your back pocket and pull it out at any time. And that is, oh, wow, this is just an interesting point of view. My
mm-hmm.
point of view that they shouldn't have done that is just interesting point of view. Their point of view that they were, you know, in the right or what they wanted is also just an interesting point of view. It's not wrong. It's not right. It's just an interesting point of view.
Yeah.
So by reiterating to yourself, it's just an interesting point of view, that can take us out. When we do that, it can take us out of so much, and especially the need to be right. And in fact, in the situation itself, I allowed them to be right. Like, okay, we'll just do it the way that works for you, right? Which ultimately I got would create the greatest future, right? That's a question I tend to ask, like what's going to create the greatest possibilities here? Okay,
yeah.
Just let them be right, you know? I'm not going to fight with them and push against and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I have this energy of it should have been different, right? Like this potency of, you know, they didn't even give me a chance. And so when we're in the situation, when we're caught up in our head and our thinking, we could just remind ourselves that every thought, every feeling, every emotion, every point of view, every judgment, every criticism, whether it's ours or somebody else's, is just an interesting point of view. And I believe on my website, meetkathywilliams.com, there is for free an interesting point of view challenge you can just get right in the shop there. I know there's a Who Does It Belong To challenge that you can pick up for free. I think there's also an interesting point of view one, so that you have three calls to kind of guide you through that process.
You know, an interesting point of view is one that we do speak about quite a lot, and it is such a great tool to have in your toolbox to pull out, literally use it every day. Kathy and I had a quick conversation before the show today, and she was telling me about how she was using it earlier today in a situation. And we do, we use it all the time to remind ourselves. And it really, for me, it shortens. If I've gone to a place of upset, which I really don't enjoy being in anymore, and I used to live in drama land, I really did. And so when I get there now, it's not a comfortable place to be. It's a choice that I've made, and I really desire for my life to be easy and fun and joyful. So when I'm not in that space, the interesting point of view tool is, it's invaluable, absolutely invaluable. And sometimes it can take a while for me to get out of the interesting point of view that I'm in. And it's just such a great tool. So if you guys are like, you guys have talked about this before. Yes, we have. And the reason we bring it up again is it is so invaluable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, again, it's something that's easy to pull up and just practice. And after the course of using it all day long, your head can be really much clearer. So during the break, have a shot at it. See how it works. And we'll be back with a couple of extra tools in just a moment.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. This cat makes me make art. He's always motivating me to draw pictures of him. He just is motivating artistically. He's my best friend, but a lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
Keyboard Cat, YouTube star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Start yours today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Imperfect Brilliance Radio, everybody. Yeah, and Betsy and I are having a fun conversation about what to do when people push your buttons. How can you stay centered amid all of that? So, we've discussed the tool, Interesting Point of View, and a couple of other things. And what's occurring to me now is expanding out. Do you want to talk about that, Betsy?
I love expanding out. It's another one of my favorite tools. And I guess our toolbox is pretty big, isn't it, Kathy?
Oh, my goodness. Is it ever? Yeah.
And they all, you know, contribute to each other. And so imagine how you feel, how your body feels, and how you feel when you're at the ocean.
I was there
right,
today.
I guess. Oh, I know, lucky you. Or you could be, it could be your place where you get that expansive feeling. It could be the mountains. It could be a meadow. It could, you know, wherever that is for you, where you're in nature. For most people, when you're in nature and communing, you almost instantly, when you talk about it, you can get yourself to that space. So if you're like, what is she talking about? What we find that I know for sure for me, when I'm in a space of not my happy place, whether I'm crying or angry or, you know, whatever my feelings are, I find that I am feeling constricted. So my body feels constricted, my being feels constricted, and I can start to feel frustrated, and, you know, the list goes on and on. So besides the tools of Interesting Point of View, some of the other things that we can do is, and this is an exercise that you can do anywhere. The only time we don't want you doing it is if you're driving. So, and that the part of closing your eyes. So you can choose to close your eyes or not. And literally you can do this within just a few moments. It doesn't take long. It takes longer to actually describe it than being able to get yourself to a different place if you choose to. And again, everything we talk about, these are all choices that you can make and pull out of your toolbox. You might have some other ideas to add to everything that we're talking about. And please do what works for you. And we'd love to hear if you guys have some other ideas, please let us know. We'd love to hear them. What works for you? It could be expanding out for you, could be turning on some fun music and dancing and being joyful that way. Kathy had a fun, I meant to comment on it, Kathy, and then got distracted, but she had, imagine that, right? But she had a fun video on her Facebook page the other day where she was jumping around on a trampoline, a mini trampoline for a couple of minutes.
That's true.
Yeah, and that was, you know, that was a fun little video. So whatever works for you. And it's designed to get you back to that being centered feeling, being back to you and not allowing outside forces, whatever they are, to interfere with your being. So you can dance, you could cook, you could watch a movie, whatever works for you. One of the quickest ways for me, if I'm not feeling like dancing or turning on some fun music, is really to think about, and I will say this to myself, drop your barriers, lower your barriers. Because what I tend to do is, you know, people are coming at me or I'm thinking they're coming at me and they're pushing my buttons and just everything that I'm aware of, my barriers will go up. And so I'm like, oh, drop your barriers. So I just like, look, I just say that, drop your barriers and lower them and lower them and lower them. And however many I have, if I'm still aware that I have some up, I lower them some more. Okay, and I can take a few deep breaths. You know, again, whatever works for you, throw this into the recipe that we're talking about right now. And these change every time. It's not like I will do the same thing. Here are the basic things. So I lower my barriers, and then I imagine my being, because my being is way larger than my body. So, and what I mean by that is, can you actually feel the outside edge of your being? There's just a lot of shuffling noise. Can you feel the outside edge of your being? Is it at the edge of the chair you're sitting in or the car you're driving in? Is it, can you feel it at the edge of your room? And, you know, the first time that somebody asked me that question, I was like, oh, wow, actually, no. You know, I cannot feel the edge of my being. So your being is way larger than your body. So are you allowing your being to be as expanded as it truly is? So this exercise will allow your being to be expanded. So I've been talking for quite a bit. Would you like to pick up from where I am?
Yeah, this is one that I do a lot when I have emotional contraction, because anything that isn't real, isn't true, won't stick. It'll just sort of dissolve and dissipate as we expand out. So I just ask to expand out as wide as the room to touch all four corners of the room, and then expand beyond that into the building, the entire building, and beyond that to the neighborhood or countryside, and then to fill the country and across the ocean, downward, upward, and outward until the earth becomes a ball, a globe within you. And then as you expand bigger and bigger, you can expand across the solar system and the galaxy, and include this galaxy as one of hundreds of trillions of galaxies in your awareness. And you can just keep expanding your awareness out in every direction, including the direction that might be the most challenging to you. And as you do, kind of softening, right? When we are releasing barriers, we're also softening any tension, expanding more. And this is the spaciousness in which, you know, points of view can't really touch you. They can't really stick to you because you're just so expanded, right? And so if someone says, well, that's an interesting, you know, dress you're wearing, or that's an interesting, you know, perspective you have, or whatever it is, it's like none of that really can stick to you. You just recognize that, oh yeah, that's their perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to make me feel any particular way. So I just love that one.
Me too. And I love what you just added about, you know, nothing can stick to you. You know, when you are that space, it truly, everything kind of, if you imagine yourself as the rock in a stream, like the water goes around the rock, you know, and it's the same thing. It's nothing sticks to you. It's the breeze going through the screen door. It just goes through. And so you see how quickly you can get yourself to that space. And it literally can be just close, you know, like, oh, expand out. And boom, I'm out. And what I can, so we'll sometimes do, along with everything that we've talked about already, is remind myself to also expand down to connect with the earth below me and behind me, because sometimes when I'm doing this exercise, I find that I'm just doing it in front of me. So it's like, do it all around me, like behind me and below me as well as above me. And so that also helps to remind me that my being is way more infinite and all around me, all encompassing. And I will also ask to connect with the earth and ask the earth and the universe and all the planets, known and unknown and everything else, right, to all contribute to this beautiful exercise. And again,
nice. I like that.
Thank you. You know, and change it up. You know, so it doesn't get boring, and see what else you can add to it. You know, sometimes I'll ask the elementals to play and jump in, and just, you know, the animals, the earth, you know, the trees, the forest, the ocean, whatever. Like, and it's, again, it's different every time. So this is a wonderful, wonderful exercise that can truly get you centered. And from that space of being centered, if Kathy was doing whatever it was, the same thing that she was doing at the beginning of the show where I said, let's pretend that Kathy's pushing my button. If I'm in this space, I don't think she would really find any buttons to push.
Yeah. Because in order to have buttons, we have to have made something solid, right? Some certain point of view, some decision that this person shouldn't be this way, or this thing is annoying. If someone says this, it's annoying, right? We've made that point of view solid. Mm-hmm. And if I make it solid, it can run my reality. And if I don't make that solid, then it can't.
True story. So what would you like to run your reality?
Yeah. What? You know, I mean, the other thing I wanted to bring in to this conversation is knowing what someone can hear. So if you know that every time you tell your Uncle Joe about your business, like Uncle Joe says, hey, how's your business coming? And you say, oh, well, this, this, and this are happening. And Joe invalidates you or puts you down or tells you that you should be doing it another way. Maybe you don't want to give him so much information. Maybe you could say, oh, it's going well, thanks. What's up in your world? So that you instead shift the conversation to what's up for them. That way they can't pick apart your business and the way you're doing it, or your parenting and the way you're doing it, or whatever it is. It's like, if you know that someone constantly invalidates you, do you really want the conversation to center around you and your projects? Or could you shift it, you know, to some other topic that's going to work better? And
such a great question, Kathy. And, you know, people like that, they're not going to even notice that you've deflected. And if you're asking, you know, they're going to think that, you need, if you're asking questions about them, then most people like to talk about themselves. Not everybody,
indeed,
but a lot of people do, right? So then, you know, how could you just, like you said, just be aware and be aware of what the person, they may have an agenda. So, you know, follow your knowing for every situation. And every situation could be different. It could be the same person, and they could be very different one-on-one than they are in a group of people. So know what you know and follow that, follow your knowing. And, you know, even how much fun could you have if, let's say you're in a situation where, let's use Uncle Joe again, you know, Uncle Joe's going to be there. And instead of going to this event filled with dread because you have to see Uncle Joe.
Oh, no. I'm so, I hate interacting with him. It's terrible.
Right, what questions could you ask? What could you do? Is there anything you could prepare with? Could you take something with you? Like, what different things could you do so you have maybe a different outcome than you've had from previous experiences?
Yeah. So you don't have to avoid the person, although you could. You know, I realized, oh, there's someone in my life that every time I walk away from being with them, I feel a little bit off and funny. And, oh, I was just accused of things. And, oh, that doesn't, you know, do I really want to spend time with them? You know, that's a choice, too.
Right.
And so the question is, when you do run into these people, because you don't want to live your life trying to avoid people, right? So when you do run into these people, what other choices can you make? Wow! Thanks, everybody,
amazing,
for listening to Imperfect Brilliance.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We so appreciate you. It was the top of the hour.
What are the magical possibilities now? Thanks, everyone. If you can't wait till next week, we're on SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, iom.fm, and
all over the place.
Yes. Thanks a bunch, everybody. Have a great week.
Bye.